Happy Tuesday evening. So happy that you're hanging out with us on this wintry evening. It's very chilly out. I hope that you are happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are. And I also want to remind everybody that it is the holiday season. Things get hectic or things get a little overwhelming, whether it's emotions or all the planning you have to do. Please, you know what? Take stock of things. Slow down. Check in with yourself. See how you're feeling. And if you need to ask people for help, you should. I don't know how to, you know, encourage you more strongly that it's okay to ask for help and say, hey, you know, I just want to talk about something, or I just need some place to, you know, and or take yourself out on a date by yourself. Go have coffee by yourself and just reflect on whatever it is you are trying to deal with right now, because I know that people get a little bit, you know, overwhelmed with everything that's going on. And if you are at home tonight and trying to go to sleep, I hope we don't keep you up. I mean, I kind of hope we keep you up, but not like in a bad way, but in a, I want to hear what's happening next. In particular, we are so excited to welcome in studio Classical Blast, and they're performing this Sunday at the Arcata Theater. That's the Sunday, December 17th, and they've got their Dark Side of the Yule concert, and a lot of great music. Special guest Wayne Baker Brooks. We're going to hear music from them after 11:30. They're setting up right now. And if there's anything from the show that you miss, let's say you're in your car and you got to get out, or again, if you do drift off, don't forget everything that we say is broadcast right after this. It's podcast, as a matter of fact, on iTunes. Michael Heidemann, producer extraordinaire, has that loaded up before we even leave. Well, he can't leave the building. I mean, it would be weird if he got done after he left the building. It would be remarkable. It would be like magic. But he does it before I even leave the building. So that will be up on iTunes. You can also check us out on WGNradio.com. If you want to watch us on the live stream, you can see the band right now setting up, getting their equipment going in the studio. Again, that's WGNradio.com. Click on the live stream, and you'll see all of us right there, including Esmeralda Leon up in the traffic booth. I can't say traffic hut because it's not mine, Ez. That's Nick's.
Right. Well, that's, you know,
yes,
it is a hut.
It is a hut.
It's a bit of a hut.
I feel, has he decided, or have you guys talked about like putting some like, you know, grass leaves in there, like a tiki hut kind of a thing?
Oh, right. No, I'm seeing, do. You just can't see it.
Oh, I can't. Yeah. Okay. I just feel like you should have like torches. Although then that reminds me of Charleston. So
that would be, yeah
weird.
Smoke too.
Yeah.
Sprinklers would probably go off.
What about like those little battery operated candles? We could do it that way.
Oh.
Yeah.
See? That would be good lighting.
Hey, look at what I do down here. I got to set it up just my way.
Yeah, it would look good.
Just my way. I want to congratulate you, Esmeralda. You were wonderful at the recital at the Museum of Science and Industry. You looked great.
Oh, thank you.
And you danced wonderfully. And I listened to you when you were telling Nick about it. I would not have known that there was anything. Don't never tell people that you didn't do what you intended to do, because they don't know what you meant to do.
That's true.
They don't know. I didn't know. You look very serious.
That's true.
Is that part of training?
That was the point. Like, we're supposed to?
Yes. No,
she's
they all
kind of like, you're supposed to, like, kind of look very, not angry, but.
Oh, I felt like you were searing me through my soul with
yeah,
your laser
like,
eyes.
Yeah, just very serious. And
yes.
Like, I'm out here to dance.
You weren't the only, I mean, all the women, all the dancers were very serious.
Yeah, you're supposed to kind of have this very bold and, like, dramatic.
Yes.
Look about you.
Flamenco dancing, by the way. I don't think I made that clear. Esmeralda has been studying flamenco for the last 6 months.
Yeah, something like that.
You did great. I thought you looked
Thank
phenomenal.
You.
And it was unsettling when there were women in the other group that would smile, because I'm like, I don't think she's supposed to smile.
But, yeah, because then they were like, you have to keep character, like, don't laugh, or,
right.
Like, if you do mess up, you know, just pretend like that was meant to happen.
Right. You guys were wonderful. Do you aspire to buy one of the more fancy, like, the different colors?
I would, yeah, I would love to. Probably next year.
Yay!
I could probably, at some point. We'll see.
I was digging that blue one, the woman
yes.
who did the solo with the guitarist. I don't know if Colin told you about the messages, your boyfriend V, that I was like, what's with the Chucks? The women are all stunning. And he's like, yeah, I guess I'll come out here in my jeans and my t-shirt and just put my guitar somewhere over here.
Oh, the guy? Yeah.
The
I don't know. And then he, for some reason, at the end of everything, decided to give the people on stage Santa hats.
Yes.
I don't know what that was about.
Oh, yes. He came out and he was handing you all, like all some of the women, the dancers, Santa hats. But one of the things is that they're supposed to be clapping. So she's trying to hold the Santa hat while she's clapping. And finally,
right.
Yeah,
finally. You're supposed to be doing, and it's like a specific clap.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a cupped hand thing. So.
And I think she's trying to raise her arms, but she's trying to hold onto the Santa hat. It was that was very strange.
Yeah.
Finally, your instructor took it for her. I think she was like, oh, this is. Because the woman didn't also want to drop it and seem rude. It was awkward.
Yeah, yeah, I got kind of like, what's happening?
And then you did get, I want to say you did get body checked by one of your classmates. taking a curtsy. You got totally body checked. That.
It was a thing we weren't really sure what we were supposed to be doing. Some of us, because we had never done a performance before.
Right.
And I don't think we had too much time to go over like what was going to happen at the end.
Right.
They were kind of like, we're just going to go out there. And so I kind of didn't know what was happening either. I'm like, we're still up here. Okay.
No, there was someone who was like, these are my footlights. I am going to stand in the spot. That's what I saw. I watched the video. I know that, and your parents were there. So wonderful. I was so happy.
They were? Yeah. You got to be both my parents.
Yes, I did. And I have to say, your mother lit up when she met my mom. Like, oh, finally someone who speaks Spanish. Your mom looks so relaxed. Because both of our moms were like, okay, let's talk about our daughters. Well, you would understand them. I would be like, ¿qué dice?
Yeah.
¿Qué significa that word? No, it was wonderful. Great performance. Yours was the only one that we saw. We were there too. Oh, Declan was really sick.
Yeah, no, I saw. You could see he looked a little.
Oh, he looked miserable. Well, now I don't want to tell anybody that I think I'm getting something. So it's fun.
Oh, boy.
It's fun. You know, good thing I have my own microphone cover.
There you go. That's it could also be, I'm like fighting allergies.
I think it feels like allergies because I don't have anything besides like a burn in my chest.
Oh, right? Well, I just. Mine's sinuses.
Yeah, my sinuses.
But that's all I have, so I don't know what's going on.
Like, my teeth hurt. Usually my sinuses. I'm sorry, everybody.
Your teeth hurt?
My sinuses affect my teeth. Into my ears when I start having a sinus thing.
I mean, it's all connected.
Yes. Have you seen these x-ray machines where you don't have to bite down on those guards? By the way, I'm never going back to a dentist who does that. I'm so sorry, dentists who have not upgraded to these, like, rotating scan things. Have you seen those where it just goes all the way around your head?
Yeah, but I thought you still had to wear it because it's like a rain.
Well,
like a horse rain.
No, like that.
Like it holds your teeth out so you look.
Maybe I do, but have you been to the ones where they still, like, they do the left side, then the right side, and the bottom left, and the bottom right, and they're basically on your chest, like with the camera, like pushing it down into your face? Maybe I'm not having it done right, but.
I've had the lead.
With the lead vest, yes.
The lead vest.
I think you have to have the lead vest all the time. But the ones where you like have to keep taking pictures, this one takes it all, the whole picture in just one fluid motion. It just like the camera just rotates back and forth with the x-ray. And the dentist asked me if I had really bad sinuses because he said I was very fibrous. Yes, very fibrous through my cheekbones and into my... I feel like this is something I could have told you off the air.
I've never heard of someone's cheekbones.
With the sinuses underneath the...
Never heard sinuses described as fibrous.
Yeah, it didn't sound like it. Yeah, see? That's how. And then I guess that's why my teeth hurt. All right, everybody, mental scrub. I'm going to go ahead and agree that let's do a do-over when we come back. More in just a moment. There's a lot going on. Hey, here's the thing. Blackhawks won! I don't know what that voice was. That was like an Ethel Merman. They won! Very excited. The Blackhawks have won in overtime. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook at Patty V Show or on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI. And coming up in a little bit, just after the 11:30 news, we will be hearing from Classical Blast and friends, including special guest Wayne Baker Brooks for some Dark Side of the Yule music. I feel a little bit greedy tonight, Esmeralda. I'm going to be honest with you. I want to go see Los Lobos. And now I get to have live music in studio with some fine musicians here as well.
Wow, yeah.
I'm super greedy.
You're musically full tonight.
Yes, I feel it's a bounty of plenty. Is that a redundant? I don't know. It's plentiful.
Yeah, I think a bounty is a
bounty
plentiful.
Of happiness. Yeah, my bounty is plentiful. No, that's working for me right now. So the Blackhawks won. Got to go see Los Lobos. Saw you dance on Sunday. I had to, my Christmas shopping is pretty much done. Have you done a lot of your Christmas shopping yet, Ez?
Nope.
Okay.
I've done nothing.
I can't tell you what because Steve listens to my husband. Steve listens to my podcast every day, so I can't tell you what I bought him. But I'm very excited about a couple of gifts I bought for him and my son Griffin. And now I just realized. Oh, you know what? Well, because Declan doesn't. Well, I can't tell you what Declan won't wear that the boys will. My husband and Griffin will wear. Okay, I feel as though I want to tell you a lot of things. I've talked to you off air as well. Off air.
Okay.
Do you know what you're buying, Colin? Can you tell me on the air? Okay.
I have no clue. Not one idea.
And he did some shopping for your anniversary. Had you bought him a bunch of things for your anniversary with him?
No.
No.
I didn't even know.
That it was a thing?
No, I knew it was our anniversary, but like we hadn't because it was the vacation. We took that vacation to Ireland and Iceland.
Right.
That was the kind celebration. Of the, our gift, our celebration. And then he just like comes out of nowhere with all this stuff. I'm like, oh, come on, man. But they're very thoughtful because there were things that I needed.
Right. How is that, how do I describe it? The pillow upon which you rest.
My butt pillow?
Yes, that one. That's the one I was wondering
about.
It's
like a back pillow. It's supposed to help your back.
With your posture?
Yes.
And do you find that is doing that job?
I think so.
Okay.
I think it is. It is making me sit up straighter. So that there's that.
Is it like memory foam? No.
Kinda. It is squishy.
That's good. Well, you want it to be, I mean.
I think it's the shape.
Right.
That it's supposed to, that it takes on. It's got supposed to help.
It's got almost like a U shape.
Yeah, it's like a shoehorn.
Oh, gotcha.
Or not a shoehorn, a horse.
Horseshoe.
Shoe, there you go.
I don't know why I suggested a shoehorn. That was bad of me. So your pillow puts your shoes on for you. Does anyone even use it? Mm. Michael, quick question. Michael Heidemann, producer, behind the glass. I have
yes.
my phone tonight.
What's
running
on,
the Patty? Show. I have a quick question for you. Do you know what a shoehorn is?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does a shoehorn do?
Shoehorn helps you put your shoe on. It's the... in the shape of a little, I guess, wedge.
Yes. So, I wonder if anybody still uses a shoehorn.
They do.
They do?
Well, like when I worked for the shoe man, the shoe repair guy.
The shoe man.
The shoe man.
He's a shoe man.
He's coming to town.
Isn't he a cobbler?
Yes.
Okay.
He used those. And he said, I think it was because if you used your fingers to pull your shoes on, it would ruin the back.
If you're pulling on them too hard in the back?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they make them so that you can have like them on a longer stick.
Oh, that too. Yeah,
yes.
If you can't reach down,
I think you should have one that's like that does that and is a back scratcher. If you could have that way, you can cut down on the clutter.
Oh, so like as you put the shoe on, it scratches your back?
No, you can use it separately. It doesn't have to be.
I'm sure
process.
You can.
Right? This would be good for getting that itch. Jen Kramer, the former head of Navy Pier, was clearing out her closet. The people were taking photos. She was taking photos of what she's cleared out of her closet. She had like six back scratchers. I own none.
Wow.
So
this six.
Oh, come on.
Six.
Oh, it's man. Because you lose them.
Do you have a back scratcher?
I do.
Michael?
No.
Wayne Becker
no,
Brooks, do you have a back scratcher?
No.
No? No, I think.
You need to get one.
I know what I'm getting
They're
everyone
wonderful.
For Christmas. One of our musicians has a back scratch. Oh, you scratch his back? Aw. See, yes? Our answer is that we have our guys to scratch our. Could you scratch that?
Yeah, but sometimes they just don't. Because you'll be there. You'll be like, no, to the left. To the left. Down.
Right.
Down a little bit. Down. No, yeah. Too far. Go back up.
Let me get my shoehorn.
Right?
To get this fixed.
Never
get
mind.
A good
I,
one.
I don't need you. I got my shoehorn. Yeah, I don't. Shoehorns are one of those items that seems like it's just not used. I feel like it was used more often, right?
It sounds very extravagant.
It does sound extravagant. I feel like it was something more from the 50s and 60s.
Well, I just don't think my shoes are that are expensive enough to use a shoehorn.
Right. And would you shoehorn like your gym shoes on? It seems a bit excessive.
No,
because they have laces.
Not.
They open up enough.
Right.
It's so more for
it's for the nice like the businessman shoe.
Yeah.
What are they called?
See the business like
nice shoes.
Nice shoes.
Is that what the shoe man wears?
The shoe man wears
here's businessman shoes.
Dressy shoes.
Yeah, what are those?
Not like loafers, but
no,
like,
but I mean it could be a loafer, but
it could be a loafer.
Tap shoes?
No. Suit shoes.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is I don't know because I don't wear them.
That's why you didn't say in the shoe industry?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what
I have, my husband has very old shoes, and every time I put them on a suit, he's like, which ones are better? I'm like, these are my choices. But you can't buy, can you buy shoes for someone as a gift? I can't do that.
That's difficult. Because
right? It's personal.
Well, yeah, that, and if you don't know them, you need to know their foot in
right.
and out.
Yeah, the thing is, who really knows somebody else's foot?
Right?
This is the thing, this is the most philosophical question I've ever asked on the air before.
Some shoes are very narrow.
Right, and some people have a high arch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
I would say you would buy the accoutrements.
Plus I pronate.
Of shoes.
Yes. Rob Martier, do you have a shoehorn?
I do indeed.
Do you use it?
I do.
Do you use it on your businessman shoes?
I do. Well, you know what? When in my life between broadcasting gigs, most of us turned to retail, and I was selling shoes. And I learned rather quickly that if you spend a lot of money on shoes, it's probably best you have a shoehorn so you don't destroy the backs of the shoes.
See? I know.
Yeah. And also, do you keep like those shape keepers in your shoes, like the wooden ones?
You mean like the cedar trees, the shoe trees? I've got a pair. Yeah, I kind of rotate.
Yeah. See? That makes sense, too. I used to use this to stretch my shoes out. It never worked. I just bought the wrong size.
I mean, look at how much we spend on decent shoes. You want to try to keep them around a little bit.
Plus that poor cow that gave up its life for your shoes. Let's take a quick break here. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. This Sunday, December 17th at 7:30, there's going to be an amazing musical presentation. I don't know. Concert. Let's just say concert. There's some great music coming to you at the Arcata Theater at 105 East Main Street in St. Charles. You can go to arcatalive.com for tickets or call 630-962-7000. Again, that number is 630-962-7000 or go to arcatalive.com for tickets to see the Classical Blast and the Dark Side of Yule. That's going to be featuring special guest Wayne Baker Brooks. But right now, they're live in studio. Here they are with Pray For Me.
Stockings hang in a row, but the embers aglow as a cider is warmed by the hearth. While the fire burning bright takes the chill off the night, it won't melt the ice from my heart. Since you left me that way, on a cold winter's day, I should find a choir to sing, benedictions to give wing, so the saints will never cease to pray for me. Bring me peace. Nothing left but this sad eulogy. Now my life's filled with doubt. All the light has gone out. The angels fallen from my Christmas tree. Since you left me that way on a cold winter's day, I should find a choir. Peace, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That was Pray For Me with Classical Blast. Again, they're going to be at the Arcata Theater this Sunday, the 17th, beginning at 7:30. The Arcata Theater, if you're not familiar, great venue in St. Charles. And you can go to arcatalive.com. The phone number is 630-962-7000. And again, that's in St. Charles. The showtime's at 7:30. That's Dark Side of the Yule Concert by Classical Blast with special guest Wayne Baker Brooks. We're going to take a break here and sit down with Wayne. Anybody else who wants to grab a microphone in a moment? More on 720 WGN. It's Pretty Late. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. It is the holiday season. Joining me in studio is Classical Blast, and they have their holiday show, Dark Side of the Yule, this Sunday at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles. Go to arcatalive.com for ticket information or call the box office, 630-962-7000. In studio, we have special guest Wayne Baker Brooks, also regular on the show. I believe he wrote a song called Patty. No, was that our friend Mark DiCarlo wrote a song, Patty Don't Sing? It was
yes.
A bit
yes,
of a...
Mark, yeah.
It was more of a request and a command than anything else, and we want to thank Mark for that. We also want to welcome cellist Pitar in studio with us, Jimmy on violin, Bill on bass, and Dave Kelly on drums and vocal.
Thank you.
I hope I got everything right. Yep. It's weird when I do, so it's an odd feeling. I apologize for getting that.
Thanks for having us, Patty.
My pleasure. So, Pitar, tell me about this album.
This album is a very, very special album. It's our third one. It's, first Christmas album thus far.
Okay.
And we're quite proud of it. It turned out to be a very unusual Christmas album.
It's a little dark.
It is.
I love that. Wayne told me, he's like, you know, it's not cheerful. And we're gonna
we like to do it in the dark, you know.
it's very dramatic.
Dramatic.
That's what we were shooting for.
But Christmas is dramatic, right? So, I mean, you know,
It is. It has quite a fascinating history to it.
Like, Silent Night is obviously a very dramatic and heavy song, you know, but it has all the other... This has, like, the pain of things, you know, the idea of being left out in the cold and
real
heartbreak.
Light stuff.
Real light stuff. Oh, yeah. But a lot of people get their hearts broken at Christmas time, whether it's because, you know, someone dumps you or it reminds you of things that you miss or are sad about.
Someone passes away.
Yeah.
Not every family is perfect.
Yeah. What are you accusing me of?
What you'll learn by that song is that if you wait long enough, the choir will sing for you.
Oh, I like that.
So even though you're feeling bad now, just give it time and the choir will eventually come around.
They will. Yeah, that's definitely true.
Right. Yeah,
I would love to have my own choir walk
behind me. Dave, come closer
to
your microphone. You're sitting way back there.
Sure.
I mean, I know you got a nice booming voice, but we want to make sure people can hear
also,
you.
Also, I asked somebody at the last gig whether they minded that you know, a lot of our songs were dark like this, and they said, no, that's actually why they came out.
Oh, really? You know, they're tired of all that. Jingle bells.
So
got it. Got it. Everything's very cheerful. I love the music.
Just a different perspective, that's all.
Well, it's also a blending of styles, because it's got some almost heavy metal sound to it, too.
Yeah.
And what else are we combining? Bluesy?
Classical
music?
Well, we are mixing a Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies with Enter Sandman from Metallica.
So is that what it is?
Right.
Do you really have that on the album?
Yeah.
I think our intention kind of revealed itself as we were putting it together. You know, we had no intention other than to make Christmas music, and then it kind of just took that turn.
I love the music, and we're gonna do some more live studio music. But Wayne, I'm gonna have you in on Friday as part. Are you still able to come to our holiday party?
Oh yeah.
Well, so one of the things that I want to talk about, though, you mentioned when someone passes away, you know, there is. Are you finding that this is going to be the holiday season is different for you in the sense that anything that's surprising
different.
You? Your father passed away earlier this year.
Yeah.
The legendary Lonnie.
Yeah.
And
it's very different, you know, not having him around.
Yeah.
You know, for the holidays, you know, he would grab the guitar and do, you know, Christmas songs, you know, bluesy style, and change the names to it. You know, like my grandmother's name was Lorraine, so he would change it to Lorraine Deer.
Oh, the Lorraine Deer, I love that.
Yeah, and my Auntie Mary, Merry Christmas, you know, and do the laugh song, you know. So, yeah, this is a rough one for me.
Yeah. It's and that's one of the things you find yourself sort of sinking.
And my whole family, yeah.
Yeah.
The whole family, yeah.
It's a beautiful thing that you're doing. The music gives you a way to sort of
it heals
also,
me.
It's cathartic.
It heals me. It definitely heals me.
It heals you. I love the idea of that.
Do you have any, Pitar,
do you have any music that you find that you have to you go to when you need it as far as, you know, being cathartic or healing you?
I do.
Or has it changed?
I usually gravitate towards Rachmaninoff's piano concerto.
Oh, really?
That has a special thing to me.
Okay,
it's either
personal.
That or Bach's Toccata and Fugue.
Okay, so it's
in D minor. Yeah. Anyhow.
Does it help you shake loose a little bit? Anything that's
it makes me go really deep into the thoughts and into what I do and why I do and who I am, and I find that to be therapeutic.
Well, that's wonderful. How about you, Dave? What do you got? Do you have any music that you turn to when you need it?
Mariah Carey every single year.
Mariah Carey for Christmas.
Absolutely.
Did you see her New Year's Eve performance last year?
Of course I did, dear.
Oh my God, that was so crazy.
Guess who doesn't not like her any less? I still love her.
I wonder why.
Stick to it.
It's because she dated Eminem.
Is that what it was?
That's why.
I love that. Yeah. And how about you, my friend? How about Bill?
Oh, I was going to say the same thing that Pitar said exactly.
Is it? No, come on. Because really. It's awfully right. Specific.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's
he
usually
stole
original
my answer.
Songs. You know, that's where the songs come from, you know, heavy feelings.
Right.
That so you just pick up the guitar or get on that piano and just see what comes out. And usually something comes out when you're feeling something.
Oh, no doubt.
Not when you're trying to write a song.
Yeah. Isn't that that's the thing too? Is that when you have to write something, you know you've got something to get done, but it's not until you're feeling it.
Yeah. Absolutely,
that's so, true.
It's a little bit like comedy writing, but I don't have the extra added pressure of what are all the instruments going to sound like, what will the vocals sound like, just what do I sound like?
What do you listen to?
What do I listen to? I listen to a lot of different. I love Bonnie Raitt.
Oh yeah.
What was that?
Oh,
yeah.
That's fantastic.
Oh, I thought you were scoffing at me. No, okay.
Now we're friends.
No, we love her.
Now we're friends. I saw her last year at Ravinia. It was unbelievable.
She's great. Always a great band too.
Oh my God. Yeah. So very, very good. What do you guys, do you have any traditions for the holidays? Wayne, do you have any, because we always watch movies. My husband and I, we queue up a bunch of really good movies for Christmas. You know,
family get-togethers, yeah. You know, eat and drink and play cards all night.
You play cards?
Yeah.
Is there some gambling going on?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not going to say. Not with me, no.
No,
I don't
no.
gamble. I'm not a gambler.
No gambling on your part. Let me take a break here and find out if anybody's got some more traditions that you want to tell us about. Pitar, are you thinking about your traditions for Christmas?
I'm thinking I need a minute on this one.
You need a minute on you too, Dave? You got any traditions you want to share?
Yeah, sure. I'll
all right.
Too.
Bill? Thinking
I got
about
nothing.
You got nothing? All right, we better have something when I come back. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Some interesting political developments today. A couple of things. First, let's go to news in Alabama and the results of that election. There was a seat up. It was Jeff Sessions, a former seat. He's now the attorney general. And as a seat was vacant, there was an election today. A lot of news, a lot of headlines. The name that you would recognize more would be Roy Moore because there were so many allegations, so many different stories. And I think that a lot of people started focusing toward the last couple weeks. As much as we were drawn toward the allegations that he had gone after young women when he was in his 30s, there are also a lot of conversations about how he does not support the Constitution, that he has said in the past, and more recently, actually, that the best time in America had been when families were stronger together, even though slavery existed. He has said things like he thinks that the first 10 are fine in the Constitution, but the rest of it can go, would include the abolition of slavery, the right for women to vote, a list of other things, a lot of us, including, actually, oddly enough, states' rights. Tonight, Doug Jones has won the seat in Alabama by a small margin, but the voter turnout, I think, is part of the really big story here. Joining me in studio is former chief of staff for Senator Mark Kirk and Republican strategist Eric Elk, president and CEO of Fulcrum, Illinois. And on the line with us, we have Dave Lundy, also political strategist and communications expert, the president of Aileron Communications and regular on Justin Kaufman's show. Hey, Dave, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I am doing fantastic, Patty.
Wow, you sound very excited.
Yes, it is not irrational exuberance. It is just exuberance. The decency has trumped Bannonism and Trumpism. It's a beautiful thing.
Do you think that without the obviously the big story has been the drumbeat of the sexual allegations that he was a predator to young girls that were 14 years old, including a woman who says that when she was in high school he assaulted her in his car. You know, people have jumped on the fact that she altered the yearbook signing that she says was his. She added a notation. She did not forge his signature. Without all of that other stuff, I don't think anybody listens to the part about how he wants to get rid of the Constitution. I think in Alabama, people be like, yeah, that's right. Some of this stuff is bull hockey, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, Roy Moore was nuts. He was bat-you-know-what crazy long before these allegations from the women came forward. I mean, remember, this is a man who was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court and was twice thrown off the bench because
right.
he defied a federal judge's order and in a federal appeals court order to remove a Ten Commandments monument because it infringed on the First Amendment because it was a government endorsement of religion. And so, I mean, this is a man who literally wanted to be a lawmaker while repeatedly not recognizing the laws of the nation that he wanted to help lead. So he was crazy long before this stuff came out. And you pointed out the stories that have come out in recent days about how he wanted to chuck all the amendments after the 10th, which includes little issues like women's suffrage and the abolition of slavery. You know, last night at his rally, his wife said, "Now I want to tell the media who says we have a problem with Jews that, in fact, one of our lawyers is a Jew." I mean, we're talking all manner of crazy, even for Alabama.
To which a lot of people were like, "Just one?"
Right, exactly. Like, don't you know the line is, some of my best friends are Jews.
Yeah, it is crazy. Eric, do you think that this was a Democrats versus Republican election, or was this a right versus wrong election?
I think it was a right versus wrong. I think it was a country before party, and I think that it was great that the president listened to Steve Bannon, and Bannon walked him.
Oh, you think it's great? You're being sarcastic.
Yes. Sorry.
As a Republican strategist, some of this stuff has to make your head almost explode.
Oh, absolutely. I think it, you know, Roy Moore should have never been on the ballot. You know, the, to Dave's point, you know, having been kicked off the bench twice previously, and the things that he has done with junior high, I mean, you know, the young women who came, all the women who came forward.
So many of them, yes.
I mean, he had no business. And the thing that's scary is that he came as close as he did to winning tonight.
Well, and there's, from what I understand, Dave, correct me if you know specifically the numbers of voting. The voter turnout sounds like it was double what they expected. They were expecting 25% voter turnout, which means registered voters. But beyond that, the African-American vote turnout was 70%. Is this what you're hearing?
Yeah, the turnout, in fact, I was just arguing with a right-wing friend on Facebook about this.
Oh, this should be fun.
Oh, we lost because, you know, the rural voters didn't turn out. I'm like, no. The rural voters turned out in very high numbers, but their numbers were in, like, the low 60s, whereas African-Americans turned out in the mid to high 70s, which is just a stunning level of voter turnout. So, I mean, this was a race that energized everybody, but it energized the, you know, the African Americans, in particular African American women, tremendously, and I think women in general. There was a 32-point gender gap, based upon the numbers that I've seen so far.
Wow,
which is the largest gender gap in a race that I've ever seen. And, you know, men voted for Roy Moore by 17 points and women voted for Doug Jones by 15 points. But, you know, as usual, there are more women than men. So, you know, it made the difference. But look, this isn't, you know, let's not pretend that this is some big Democratic wave sweeping over the South. This is one race, one abhorrently bad candidate, and frankly, one really good candidate on the Democrat side. Doug Jones is a top quality candidate. He's a top quality recruit. He ran a, you know, near flawless campaign, other than the fact that you know, he came out as staunchly pro-choice, even for late term abortion, which in a state like Alabama is the only reason he didn't win by 10 points.
They did polling as late as I think yesterday, showing that, you know, more than, was it 52% of people in Alabama do not support abortion, and I think the number is pretty high for abortion under any circumstances. They
right.
want it to be illegal. I think it was like by 48%.
It was I think it was.
It was a staggeringly
right.
high number.
Very high number. I mean, and it just highlights how poorly Moore underperformed or how poorly he performed when you think about the fact that Trump won that state 28%.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney won in 2012 by 22%. He Moore underperformed in every county just as he did when he was on the ballot state when Mitt Romney ran in 2012. He should have never been in this race.
Well, and to Dave's point about had he not been so staunchly pro-choice and so, you know, very, I think it seemed to me aggressively about it. But if Luther Strange had been in this race, I think that Doug Jones does not win.
I think that's probably right.
Yeah. Where do the Republicans go now with because how soon is the next election for this seat? Because this is a sort of an off year election because of Jeff Sessions.
Well,
yeah,
so
we've got.
How much time?
Go ahead, Eric.
No, I was going to say, I think Sessions went in 14, okay. I believe. Dave,
yeah,
correct me if I'm wrong.
He's got 3 more years.
So he's got 3 years. So what? So Dave, what are the hopes, do you think, for Democrats having a seat for the first time in decades, a Democrat seat in Alabama?
You know, it's going to be really interesting to see how Doug Jones operates as a Democrat. In other words, I think the odds of Doug Jones keeping this seat are pretty slim.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
2020, when they nominate, when the Republicans are smart enough to nominate somebody relatively sane, possibly including Jefferson Beauregard Sessions, running again for the seat. Just guessing at that, by the way. I haven't heard anything. But if Doug Jones. You know, tries to be kind of a centrist Democrat in the way of like a Heidi Heitkamp, who's you know, been a pretty reasonable Democrat, but is definitely not on the left wing of the Democratic Party. You know, he'll be fine. But if he tries to, you know, be more like a Joe Manchin and run away from his party, or a Joe Lieberman and run away from his party. You know, then it's going to be really bad for him because Democrats just are going to say, yeah, no, it's you know, it's not worth it. But look, I think that there's a larger picture here, and I think this is really going to be about Steve Bannon, and it's going to be about Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump lost the last three statewide endorsements he made. For the gubernatorial candidate in Virginia, and then Luther Strange, and now Roy Moore. He's 0-for-3 in the last big three. And I think that his hysterical tweeting is really beginning to, you know, take some water onto the ship of state. And in fact, there's an extraordinary USA Today editorial.
Well, I do want to get to the tweeting today about Senator Gillibrand in just a moment, but before we move on from this topic first, because I think that that's a whole conversation too, obviously. But Eric, I have a question about Republicans who didn't distance themselves from Roy Moore, and is there going to be any ramifications for them at all? Probably not, because they go with party and their constituents. I mean, I think this is the kind of thing that doesn't necessarily have a lasting effect. Going
I think
forward.
We were talking about this earlier this evening, Dave and Ken and myself. I don't disagree. I think there could be a tsunami coming in the next cycle. I mean, the difference is in the Senate, there's 23 Democrat Senate seats that are up, 8 Republican Senate seats that are up, 2 independents, but those 2 independents typically caucus with the Democrats. So that's basically 25 Democrat Senate seats up and only 8. However, I think the House is up for grabs. The fact that so many of the members in both chambers have not walked away from the president or denounced some of his things, they were not vocal. You know, there's only one member that I've seen from the RNC, I think it was in Nebraska, stepped down because the party went back in to support Roy Moore. We should have seen more of that.
Well, as you were mentioning, the fellow senator of Alabama was on the radio this weekend encouraging people to do what?
Senator Shelby, he was on the Sunday shows basically encouraging people to vote is a write-in vote. Don't vote for Roy Moore.
And to your point about the tweets, we can talk about this one for sure, that Donald Trump tonight congratulating Doug Jones, Dave, he said that it was the write-ins had an effect. Was that my – I didn't read the whole thing, but it was something about along those lines, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, and I mean, look, it everybody was bracing for the president's tweet on this, and he tweeted something that was darn near gracious.
Yes,
which hard to believe.
Everybody and somebody else wrote it, but you know, I think that it was a strategic tweet, not to rub it in Doug Jones' face, because he recognizes, okay, it's 51-49. I got a lot of, you know, folks that are not reliable votes remaining. There may be times I'm going to need Doug Jones. So, you know, I thought that was interesting, although I tend to think he's going to come out and start screaming and yelling at people, you know, any 3-2-1. Oh, there we go.
So and now that it is 49-51, right, in the Senate, what does that look like? Eric, when it comes to, you know, these votes, whether the tax bill they're trying to get done before Doug Jones even takes the seat, or does he take this? When does he take the seat?
I thought I read that they are not going to seat him until after the first of the year.
Right. So they're going to try to get that.
They can't. The Secretary of State can't certify until at the earliest the 26th of December. So they're not going to be seating him until after the first of the year.
So how does this play out, do you think, a little bit in the short run as far as the next, let's say, the next 6 months with people who are going to be running for their seats next year, right? There's going to be primaries. How are people going to be voting when it's 49-51 and they're looking at the, you know, these town hall meetings where they're getting yelled at about health care or, you know, when something changes in the political winds?
I'm sure there are, I mean, many of them are profiles in Courage, and I'm sure that they're all really starting to take notice of this tonight and what happened in a state that is so red, like Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, and if
that's some crimson red.
Yeah.
Wait, is that right?
Whoa. and if something like that can happen there, it's going to happen in any of these states, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, they're going to be held accountable.
Let's, speaking
there
of,
there are definitely they're definitely, although the map is horrible for Democrats in the Senate. In 2018, there are still some pickup opportunities. It was going to be very difficult to think how they could pick up three without this seat, but now that they only need to pick up two, and you've got Arizona is in play because Jeff Flake is not running for re-election, and you have a very strong Democratic candidate there. You also, this week, the Democrats picked up their dream candidate in Tennessee to run for Bob Corker's seat, former governor who, when he left office, his approval ratings were in the low 70s. So, you know, there are challenges. It's a challenging map for Democrats, but boy, there are definitely some opportunities there if, you know, and it's not unheard of to run the table. I remember 2006. In fact, I was on the phone all night long with a certain gubernatorial candidate, and we were going race by race by race, and Democrats swept everything, all the big Senate races, even North Dakota. So,
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Donald Trump's tweet today, too. 312-981-7200, if you're familiar with his tweet about Senator Gillibrand and what your interpretation of it. I think that the important thing here, honestly, is that he did make it vague. He said that basically saying that Senator Gillibrand had come to his office looking for donations for her campaign, and apparently he did give her $4,500 in 2010, and he said that she was willing to do anything. Now, he made that vague, which means it is up to interpretation, and that means that we get to interpret it our own ways. And it's not, I mean, we can't get mad at each other about that. He made it vague. 312-981-7200. Join our conversation. Don't hang back. Again, that's 312-981-7200. More with Eric and Dave when we come back on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Coming up this Sunday at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles, Classical Blast featuring special guest Wayne Baker Brooks will be, and others. I don't want to leave others out, but I wasn't given any other names. Wayne's in studio, and he's like, just say others. I'm teasing you, Wayne. He'll be at they will all be other brothers. Is it Classical Blast is known for mashing classical and rock music in unique ways, and they've got some great holiday music they're sharing at their Dark Side of the Yule concert. Again, that's this Sunday, December 17th at 7:30 p.m. at Arcata, 105 East Main Street in St. Charles. For tickets, go to arcatalive.com or call 630-962-7000. But they're live right now in studio with Merry Christmas, baby.
so treat me nice. Merry Christmas, baby. You so know how to treat me right. Well, I feel like I'm living in paradise. I feel real good tonight, 'cause I'm on the radio. I feel real good tonight on WGN Radio Show. I just want to kiss you, baby, underneath this mistletoe. Santa came down the chimney, 3:30, with lots of presents for my baby and me. Merry Christmas, baby. You so know how to treat me right. I'm living in paradise. Oh, yes, I am. Tell them how I feel, man. Merry Christmas, baby.
Oh, man. How did that feel, Wayne?
Like I'm at home.
That was amazing. Well, look forward. You're going to be here on Friday for our party, too.
Absolutely.
We're playing some of that music live as part. Well, we'll be broadcasting it and hanging out with Wayne Baker Brooks and talking about some Christmas traditions on Friday as part of the WGN party. I think WGN's going to appreciate that you threw us in there. So that's all. Laid that all down. Oh, hold on a second. That's me. They're going to be at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles this Sunday night, the 17th. Again, that's 105 East Main Street in St. Charles. Do you guys, are you guys good for the night, or do you want to play? It's up to you. You say as long, if you want to play one more song. You, no, it's whatever you want to do. All right, we'll do one a little bit. All right, sounds good. Adam, by the way, Adam Phillips making the band sound as amazing on the air as they do in studio. And Paul Farvar joins us in this conversation. We're about to get to the tweet that President Trump, I mean, I might... I can't get into every single tweet, but this one seemed to be a little bit strange. Dave Lundy joins me on the line. He's the president and CEO of Aileron Communications, regular on Justin Kaufman's show. Eric Elk, president and CEO of Fulcrum. And did I say CEO, Dave? Did I promote you again?
Yeah, you did, and that jury's still out.
All right, so president of Aileron Communications, president and CEO of Fulcrum, Eric Elk, and we have
I'm a
Paul
president
Farver,
and CEO, too.
President and CEO of Paul, of Shoeshine Boy Productions.
Shoeshine Boy Productions and yes. Farvar Law Group.
And
Paul F. Comedy.
Paul F. Comedy. It's not telling you what to do to comedy. That's his initial, his right. F.
Eric, are you yes. laughing at that? That's rude.
I can't help it. It makes me think of that every time.
I'm
right,
out of here.
Dave. Speaking of craziness, what did the president tweet yesterday or today, whatever?
Well, the backstory was that yesterday, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand and four other senators called on the president to resign because of the credible allegations of sexual harassment and sexual predatory behavior of Donald Trump. And so Donald Trump replied, but he didn't attack any of the men. He only attacked Kirsten Gillibrand with the following tweet. Lightweight Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, comma, a total flunky for Chuck Schumer and someone who would come to my office, quote, begging, unquote, for campaign contributions not so long ago, paren, and would do anything for them, close paren, is now in the ring fighting against Trump. Very disloyal to Bill and crooked hyphen used, exclamation point.
Ew. There's so much to unpack there. Flunky, right? And lightweight senator. I'm not familiar with her record. I mean, I don't know what he deems as somebody who is doing their job and not doing their job. Representing the people, I think the people of Minnesota have decided, having elected her twice, correct?
New York.
I've heard it both ways. Who am I thinking of? Oh, right. Never mind.
Thinking of Amy Klobuchar.
Klobuchar. Yes, that's right. That was Senator Franken's seatmate. So okay.
Correct.
That's right. That's why he would go. She would go to him because he lives in New York. He did donate $4,500 to her campaign at least in 2010. I don't know if there's more campaign donations. So he apparently thought that she was enough of a candidate to at least throw some money in the ring. Not a hefty amount, considering who he is. And we don't know what she offered in exchange for that. I mean, you guys work with politicians. What kind of wheeling and dealing could we be talking about? Offers
before we even get to that, though. I mean,
what? She would do anything?
I mean, the whole notion. I mean, there's nothing else to infer there. I mean, it is what it is. I mean,
plenty of people seem to be inferring other things.
Yes, yeah, Sanders said that only if your mind's in the gutter.
Yes,
it's because she continually lies every day.
Wow,
how dare you?
What kind of Republican strategist are you?
Yeah,
a
Eric?
Winner.
Oh, damn.
That's why he's president and CEO.
Okay, so a lot of people, including you guys, have taken this tweet to mean that she's slutty, that she'll do anything, meaning, I guess, gratifying him somehow.
Look, I think he meant to say something mean with that word and the way he said that.
Do anything.
Yes.
Right.
I think it was very demeaning, and it very much... brought dishonor upon the president's office. I mean, when I think of our country in the office of the president, I've always thought of it as being very honorable, majestic, and every day that he says something like that or tweets something, and then his staff continually lying, it just brings dishonor upon such an honorable and majestic office.
Well, when we come back, Dave will share some thoughts by another writer who, I guess, demonstrates the level to which they have disdain for Donald Trump and what he isn't even capable or should be able to do as personified by the character he demonstrated today. More after this. By the way, again, 312-981-7200. Join our conversation. More in a moment on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, where we continue our conversation. I want to make sure we get to our texters who have joined the conversation. From the 815, we have a listener who says that the Russian hackers doomed Roy Moore and now a Charlie Brown lookalike was elected to the Senate tonight. Hi, Patty. Eddie, your firefighter buddy here, just wanted to say thank you, Alabama. Love wins tonight. Hate loses. Be safe, everyone. Thank you, too, Eddie. We also have from Alabama. Andrew in Alabama says, OMG, a miracle tonight. Doug Jones is the guy that prosecuted the 16th Street church bombers. We are having a good day. From the 252, which is in Charlottesville. Roger. Hi, Roger. He says, hi, Patty. A quick question. This is a question for all of our everybody in the studio tonight. Comedian Paul Farvar, Esquire, attorney at large. Or yep. Law, whatever.
At large.
And we have Eric Elk, the president and CEO of Fulcrum, Illinois, Republican strategist and former chief of staff for Senator Mark Kirk. On the line with us is Dave Lundy, the president of Aileron Communications, political strategist and regular on Justin Kaufman's show every Monday night. So his question is Bannon increasingly reviled by all but the basket of deplorables? What do you guys think?
No question. I think that Mitch McConnell and the entire Republican establishment is preparing to launch a full frontal assault on Steve Bannon as McConnell's former chief of staff tweeted out tonight, thanks Steve Bannon, only you could have delivered victory to the Democrats in an unlosable Senate seat for Republicans.
No kidding.
Josh Holmes, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's remarkable. It really is an insane evening when a seat that has since the 60s has there been.
Well, I think I believe Shelby actually went in as a Democrat years ago, mm-hmm. and then switched parties maybe in.
Felt the tides changing.
92 or 94 or something like that.
Yeah,
the last Democrat that won in state a Democrat was Howell Heflin, which is of course a perfect name for an Alabama senator. And Howell Heflin was last elected, I want to say, 27 years ago.
Wow.
Wow.
So,
all
right. Kind of a big deal.
Interesting. And we've also been talking about the tweet that President Trump, it's just so hard to think. The president's tweets are just, it's.
But that's how he communicates with the country now, or the world.
Yes. So we've been talking about Senator Gillibrand of New York's the confrontation with him, because she is demanding, let's go back a little bit, actually. She's demanding that he step down. There are now, how many women in the legislature that are demanding that President Trump step down in the face of all the sexual harassment and assault charges?
Well, there are six senators, and I want to say like 60 congresspeople.
Okay. Oh, so now there are men that are finally jumping in on this.
Well, and there were, because actually when this happened yesterday, there was she was the only woman, and there were four men who joined the fray. Today, a second woman, Senator Mazie Hirono from Hawaii, also joined in the Senate. There are lots of folks from both gender who are saying, hey, now is the time to pay attention to those allegations. And despite his spokesperson's desire that, oh, well, the American people voted on this and they elect President Trump, I think that this is going to be a continuing challenge for him, because these women are going to feel even more emboldened.
Oh, absolutely.
And a number of them are going on a new media tour. And you can't blame them. I mean, Trump has said and Sanders has said they're all liars, that none of this ever happened. And they're like, no, you don't.
And I've also heard that there might be dozens more legislators that have allegations against them. Have you guys heard any rumblings of that at all?
What? Yeah, but there's I don't know if it's the Washington Post or the New York Times has been working on a mega story supposedly has ensnared dozens, literally dozens of congresspeople and senators who are accused of sexual harassment or other, sexual predatory behavior. And I think they're preparing to come out with a story sometime in the next few days.
Do you think this is why they moved so quickly to have Franken step down without any sort of, I mean, a lot of people are even saying, even Republicans are saying that there should have been some sort of due process for Al Franken, for Senator Franken.
Well, they're saying that to protect themselves.
Okay. Right. Not for nothing.
No, I mean, I think they're saying it to protect the president, to protect themselves.
I see.
They know this is not over. It is not ending with Al Franken.
No, this seems like a sustained drumbeat in this direction.
You know, the one thing we've talked about a lot as we've discussed, all these allegations, whether they were in Hollywood or wherever, is the one commonality is power. And so when you look at the nation's capital, it is a very powerful place.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of powerful people, even if it's in their own mind.
Sure, it's all about image, too.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so I would not be surprised if there were more legislative offices that were that this comes out, unfortunately. I mean, there was a story last night on that representative from Texas, a Republican member who came in 2014, and, you know, it said that his staff had to go with him to the receptions in the evening to go on redhead patrol because he had an affinity for redheads.
Taste. Wow.
And it was just, it's pretty sad. I mean, you talk about how they had the refrigerator in the bullpen where, you know, all the staff work and they're in very close quarters. Every day was, you know, at 4:30 was beer 30. And,
oh dear.
It was
how juvenile. How incredibly juvenile.
I know. Not uncommon.
I understand. I want to make sure we also circle back to that editorial that you were talking about, Dave, in regards to President Trump's tweet at Senator Kristen Gillibrand. And what was your take on that? Give us a taste of it.
So the editorial in the USA Today, and mind you, USA Today is not thought of as a you know, screaming, crazy New York Post-style editorial board. Hell, it's not even thought of as a Wall Street Journal screaming editorial board.
They're kind of a tepid, middle-of-the-road. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty middle-of-the-road. And the headline is, Will Trump's Lows Ever Hit Rock Bottom? And it contains the line, A president who'd all but call a senator a whore is unfit to clean toilets in Obama's presidential library or to shine George W. Bush's shoes.
Yikes.
And it goes on to accuse him of pouring gasoline on the fire on a regular basis with the sexist language, and to light the match gleefully, and to just condemn his lack of decency and humanity, and, you know, goes chapter and verse with a lot of his conduct. And it's just, you know, I mean, I think that USA Today is saying enough. Just, you know, as Eric said, the presidency is supposed to, hasn't always been, but it's supposed to be about dignity and honor and the best of America. Right now it is most definitely not achieving that status.
Well, and when you look, as you mentioned, it's supposed to represent the best of America, but Americans voted for a president who said Megyn Kelly was bleeding from her eyes and other places. And when I mentioned earlier that there are people that can take, you know, their own interpretation as far as what he said, because he didn't come out and say or call her a whore. But as the USA Today is saying that they, you know, all but calls her that. I think there are a lot of people who are like, oh, come on now. You know that in politics, people are willing to bargain and offer all kinds of promises and things like that. That's the sort of devil's advocate in my, you know, in my mind, that's the other side of that argument. But interpretation is also about context. So if you put it in the context of him tweeting about Megyn Kelly bleeding from her eyes and other places, which presumably means her vagina, then you're going to assume that everything else that he says in regards to a woman in this fashion does sound like he's calling her a whore.
Had to be a proud moment for his daughter, who is traveling around the
world. Do you think she cares? I mean, when you have that much power and money, Dave, what do you think? Do you think she cares?
You know, look, the thing is, one of the interesting dynamics that's taken place the last couple of days is, you know, Steve Bannon essentially quoted her in attacking her without doing so by name at the rally he did down in Alabama. Because after the Roy Moore allegations came out, she famously tweeted out that there's a special place in hell for anybody who would abuse, you know, a teenage girl like that. Do I think that she cares at some level? Yeah, I think she cares. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's all a matter of degree, and there's not a lot of degree here.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for staying up late to talk about the election results in Alabama and the news of the day. We'll see you on Friday night. Oh, no, it's your birthday on Friday. Are you coming?
I'm kind of leaning towards coming.
Oh, okay. If you want to come early, we're going to do Semper Film at 6 o'clock. Just so you know, we're watching a movie with the Marines at 6 o'clock here at the station. Have a little bit of a holiday party. So if you guys want to join me, I'd love to have you.
Yeah, and I'll probably do a dinner with my family. But
all right.
Then come down later.
All right, cool. Well, I'll see you on Friday then. Happy birthday early, and I'll see you on Friday night. That's Dave Lundy, And I look forward to seeing him on Friday night. Coming up, we're going to have more music from Classical Blast. And we have a brand new game to introduce to you. Comedian Paul Farvar and I are going to be playing Patty's Pitchers. That's our working title right now. But we'll figure it out. I got to go to news. 312-981-7200. If you want to play for a gift card to Lou Malnati's or Apt Electronics, depends on how you do on the buckets and how good our aim is in the studio. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, getting our holiday feelings on. We're getting all the feels. This Sunday, Sunday, December 17th at 7:30 p.m., Classical Blast featuring special guest Wayne Baker Brooks will be bringing their concert, Dark Side of the Yule. That's at 105 East Main Street in St. Charles, again at the Arcata Theater. Go to arcatalive.com. Or call the box office at 630-962-7000. They're live in studio right now with God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. Wow, that was wonderful. Again, Classical Blast. They'll be at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles. Go to arcatalive.com. For ticket information, go 630-962-7000. And make sure you go to their website, classicalblast.com, for more information about all the great music they have there. Get you, pick up your CD, download some music, and we'll talk more with Wayne Baker Brooks in just a little bit. We have a segment that we have, oh my gosh, every single time, Paul, every single time.
Yep.
I don't know how to work Facebook Live is what that is. Michael, you had the opportunity to interview some of the folks that is it the lead dancer of the Nutcracker?
The lead dancer, yes.
Oh. I would love to hear the interview you did with the lead dancer of the Nutcracker. Can you play all of that for me?
Of course I can. Did you want to play right now?
Well, do you want me to go to a break first? It's up to you.
Yeah, a break would be good.
All right, I'll go to a break first. How your voice gets like that?
It was a great interview, though, and I'm very happy she was able to come into the studio. We got it all done. And if you haven't seen the Nutcracker, it's a great thing to do, especially while you're here in Chicago for the holiday season.
Absolutely. absolutely. It's a tradition for so many families. So that's coming up after this break. And then after that, we're going to play Patty's Pitchers. It's a Bozo Bucket style game. And we're going to need two
style.
Listeners.
It's not the same thing at all whatsoever.
Yes, style.
We have the trademark.
It's not even similar.
Name.
Just yeah. throw things at things that are, that can catch things.
Correct.
312-981-7200. We need two listeners to play along Patty's Pitchers. We're going to have Wayne Baker Brooks, and we'll see who else wants to throw things at buckets. 312-981-7200 for your chance. They're going to play for you. Then you yeah. to pick your thrower. Whoever calls first gets to pick who they want to throw for them. And then we have prizes for everybody.
Absolutely.
312-981-7200. More in our interview, Michael Heidemann's interview with the star of The Nutcracker. More after this on 720 WGN.
Hi, welcome into WGN Radio. This is Michael Heidemann, and I have the distinct pleasure of speaking to, how do you pronounce your name, first of all?
Amanda Azucena.
Azucena. I see it here written on the paper, but I didn't want to hit it too hard because then it would just been embarrassing for both of us.
It's a hard one.
I'm here with Amanda, who is the lead dancer for the Joffrey Ballet's The Nutcracker here in Chicago.
Yes.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great tonight.
Thank you so much for joining us here on WGN Radio.
Of course.
So where did you get your start as a dancer? Because I know that it takes a lot. I mean, basically, you need to be dancing out of the womb to get to the point where you are at now. So I would love to hear the story.
I'm originally from Brazil, and I've been dancing ever since I can remember, really. I used to walk around on my tippy toes at home and, you know, just twirl around the house and do the splits whenever I could. And then my mom thought it was inevitable, so she eventually put me in ballet when I was 8. And then people saw that I had a bigger talent for it to pursue it professionally. One of my teachers told me that, you know, in Brazil there's not much support for the arts and stuff like that in general. Mm-hmm. So she suggested I audition outside the country, you know, somewhere where they supported it more. And I eventually got accepted into a boarding school in Florida. And I studied there for 4 years for all of high school. And once I graduated, I got into the Joffrey Ballet, into the trainee program mm-hmm. at the Joffrey. And I was a trainee for 1 year. And I got to work with the company a bunch. And after 1 year, Ashley offered me a contract into the company.
So after these classes, I'm guessing you were taking dance home as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I would see a lot of my friends at dance and being like, I don't want to be here. And I'd be like, this is fun. I don't know what you're talking about. I want to do this all day.
Did you have somebody you looked up to when you were young?
Not in my school necessarily. I was very much... I was very ambitious, and I was thriving on the feedback that I was getting from my teachers, and mm-hmm. they're saying I was doing well, so I just wanted to do even better. Mm-hmm. I didn't know much about ballet. I was just dancing, and then eventually I had friends that knew more, and we would watch videos of big ballerinas at the Paris Opera mm-hmm. or at the Royal Ballet, and I saw them, and I was like, that's what I want to do. I watched Center Stage when I was really little.
Yes. Oh, come on.
And I saw, like, the American Ballet Theater dancers dancing on that movie. And I was like, oh, that looks serious. I want to do that. I want to keep doing it. Yeah.
And now you're to the point of being in one of the most talked about shows in all of Chicago history, to be honest. Well, first of all, you know, I wanted to know what the audition process was like mm-hmm. to become a dancer in the Joffrey Ballet, let alone the Nutcracker in such a big show. Mm-hmm. It must be just so cutthroat in my mind.
Yeah. I think the cutthroat part of it is before you get into the company, into, you know, you're in school and you're looking for a job, or you're either as a dancer, you either want to pursue the college career, or because our careers end so early, a lot of us try to, you know, get into a company as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the really hard part, because Joffrey looks for... You know, the standard is so high for dancers at Joffrey. And I just remember I auditioned. It was just we call it like cattle call auditions, you know. And I was in Florida. I was a senior in high school. And I was just with all these amazing dancers in the room. And I took the class and I actually really enjoyed it. I had a really good time. Mm-hmm. It seemed to suit my body really well. And they eventually gave me a scholarship for the trainee program, and I was like, I think this is a good fit. Yeah.
So we were kind of talking about not only the cutthroat, but maybe it's cut feet sometimes, that there's some injuries that go along with the Joffrey Ballet and dancing. Was there something that happened to you recently?
Yes, actually, we just performed our opening night for Nutcracker, and I had to perform it without one of my toenails. I had it taken out just the day before, and it was extremely painful, but my doctor was kind enough to actually numb that toe for me, and I went on stage with a numb toe, danced on my numb toe, I think it went well.
That's the way you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your mindset? What's your mind frame when you're in the moment of, oh no, I got this enormous part, a lot of people are counting on me, and my toe is killing me?
Well, yeah, there's, you know, I think opening night is such a big deal for all of us, and mm-hmm. it means so much to the Joffrey, and we all work so hard towards it, and I really just wanted to do it. There was just no other choice. So when the doctor said I needed to be taken out, I was like, what are my options? You know, can you numb it? Is there anything I can put on it to make it not painful? And he said, well, it's going to be numb today, the day before. He said the nail's going to be numb.
Mm-hmm.
You can try rehearsal with it, and if it works, I can try and numb it again for you tomorrow. I tried it. I rehearsed with it numb, and it seemed to work. So luckily, he made it numb again, and I was like, you know, this works great. So I was looking. We had rehearsal the day before, a few hours before we did our opening night mm-hmm. for our other casts and other parts, and I could not go in point shoes. My toe was not numb, and I was in so much pain; it was unbearable. I was very much looking forward to having my toe numbed and getting on stage and feeling no pain.
I'm glad that everything worked out for you, to be honest. What is the rehearsal schedule like when you're doing such a big performance like this? Mm-hmm. Is it every day?
Yeah, we work mostly, we were up to the point of opening night, we rehearse every Monday through Friday,
mm-hmm.
and we start at 9:45 with class, and we go all the way up to 6:30 with rehearsals all day. And then once we're in the performance process, we have one day off. We have Monday off, and then we have rehearsal Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we have shows all throughout.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
When do you find time to sleep?
I don't know. And I love my sleep.
So there's a lot of different dances in the Joffrey Ballet as well. I mean, in the Nutcracker.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any specific favorites that you get to do
favorites
on stage?
Well, I'm getting to learn a lot of the dances in the Nutcracker. I think a personal favorite, and actually a major favorite from everyone, is the Arabian dance.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so beautiful. And the movement that Christopher Wheeldon created is so organic, and it just seems to work really nicely. I do love playing Marie, the role I played opening night. It's definitely my favorite.
Yeah.
The one that I look really, really like to do as well is Arabian, for sure.
And what about the wardrobes and everything? Is it fun to get to be dressed up mm-hmm. and sparkly? And
yeah, I think it's one of the best parts of our job is, you know, get into these different costumes from a different time and get into these beautiful sets and just completely become somebody else, you know, and get to live somebody else's story.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you have these wonderful things going on. The show is phenomenal. How has the reception been with the audience? You have a lot of people reaching out to you saying, you know, how well you did and everything.
Yeah, I have a lot of people, you know, you get like more followers on Instagram. And,
yeah.
You know, little things like that. a lot of people reaching out and saying, we watched the show and wow, just stunning. It was amazing. It's mm-hmm. really nice to hear the feedback from people, especially from people in Chicago, because they feel proud to have a ballet made for the city of Chicago. You know,
mm-hmm.
the story is set in Chicago. So
yes, it is set in Chicago.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so much to talk to you about. I love it. I wanted to just say congratulations on what you've been doing with this show. What's next for you?
Next, we keep working on Nutcracker all of December,
mm-hmm.
and then we have our winter program in February, I believe.
Yes. And you can go and see the Nutcracker, the Joffrey Ballet's Nutcracker at the Auditorium Theater. They're going to be doing 33 performances. Oh, my gosh. That sounds
a lot.
And that's happening in the Roosevelt University in downtown Chicago at 50 East Congress Parkway. And that's December 1st through the 30th. Amanda, thank you so much for joining us today on WGN Radio.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Lights start a blinking, those handcuffs click. You know who to call, and you better call quick.
Paul,
better call.
Paul.
Fight for your rights when your back's to the wall. Stick it to the man, justice for all. You better call.
Paul Farver.
Paul Farver is a master at creating new segments and games on our show.
Well, this one was yours.
Collaboration. It's a collaboration.
We came up with it 1 o'clock in the morning last night.
And our first contestant on the line is Joanne. Joanne, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm grateful. I'm great. And I'm also grateful that you hung on the line so long.
Yeah, thank
you. So I appreciate
you.
That. I hope we make this worth your while. But it's entirely up to your chucker, it's Wayne Baker Brooks, is chucking for Joanne. And he is in a chucking chair
yep.
near the cans. I wish that we had a CH word for that, but we don't. Containers.
No. Chucking cans in chups.
No,
cups.
Candy. Okay.
Candy.
Chucking chops.
So, Joanne, there are three canisters.
You should use chuckles.
Chuckles, yeah.
Chuckles.
Chuckles candy.
And Wayne is going to now, by the way, Wayne, introduce yourself to Joanne and our listeners.
Hello, Joanne. I'm Wayne Baker Brooks.
Musician extraordinaire.
And you're from Chicago, is that correct?
From, born and raised in the city of Chicago.
Chicago, Illinois.
Illinois.
Joanne, yeah. Where are you calling from?
Not Illinois.
Joliet.
From Joliet?
Oh, Joliet.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah, the Blues Brothers were in Joliet at one point.
They were in prison there. All right, so how do you feel about your chances here, Wayne, as it pertains? Do you have any chucking skills?
Have you? Yeah, do you have any background in chucking candy or any type of material?
Chucking basketballs.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And how do you feel little pouches of candy compare with your experience in chucking basketballs?
I feel confident.
Do you think the lighting is going to have any effect?
Yeah, you know what? I did have a lot more
light over there.
Well,
we had to keep you by
right
chair.
Over here is a little darker, so, you know.
Okay. All right, Joanne. He's
already making excuses,
He's going to take his shot at the first can. Are you ready, Joanne?
First can.
Joanne, do you have any words of encouragement?
I'm going to put the headphones down.
There you go.
Okay.
Joanne, do you have any words of encouragement? I'll pass them along. Do you have any words of encouragement for Wayne?
Good luck.
Good luck,
thank
Wayne.
Thank you so much.
There we go.
All right, here we go.
All right.
You got it.
Woo-hoo!
So it's the first bucket. Wayne, you get to plug something for yourself. Joanne doesn't get anything, unfortunately.
Oh, wow.
She gets only if you make it to the next one does Joanne win a prize.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What can you plug?
You want to tell me about the flyer that you sent for me for New Year's Eve?
Yeah, New Year's Eve I will be performing at Blues Chicago on Halsted, Blues on Halsted.
Mm-hmm.
With the great Jimmy Johnson and Rico McFarlane. We're going to ring in 2018 in Chicago, Illinois, the home of the Blues.
Excellent.
It's been a while since I played Chicago for New Year's Eve, and I'm totally, totally looking forward to it. My friends, some of my family coming out. We're going to have a Wayne Dang Doodle.
A Wayne Dang Doodle. That's Wayne Baker Brooks.
Wayne Dang Doodle.
Wayne Dang Doodle. I don't want to mispronounce that. All right, Wayne.
And it's pronounced Illinois.
Illinois.
I'm pretty sure.
I say Illinois.
All right.
Agree to disagree.
Joanne's on the line, and Andy and Mark are holding. So the anticipation
is
building.
What's the prize here, Patty?
For the next prize, if you make it in this bucket, they can win. Our listener can win if this is the last one they get, they have a prize. And if you get it all the way to the next one, they get another prize.
Okay.
Okay, right. So this is bucket number two.
Bucket number two for a Lou Malnati's gift card.
All right,
and pizza.
Here we go, Joanne.
Yeah. No.
He missed
it.
All that basketball skill.
All right, Joanne, don't go anywhere.
Don't
go anywhere, because in case our chuckers can't fulfill their obligations to win you a prize, we're going to make sure we come back to you, Joanne. We won't leave you empty-handed, okay?
Okay.
All right, stand by. So, all right, Rick Geezer, come on over. Switch chairs. Right. Rick Geezer will get into the chair chucking, the chucking chair.
Chucking chair for the chuckles into the containers.
And he will be playing for Andy. So we have Andy on the line. Andy, your chucker will be Rick Geezer. How are you doing tonight, Andy?
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
How much candy could Rick chuck if Ricky could chuck candy?
How much candy could Rick chuck candy if Rick could chuck candy?
I am Chuck Chandy. I'm going to Chandy.
See?
Chandy.
He was right.
Chandy, Chandy,
Andy's
Chandy.
Correct. This is a tongue twister. We've created our own tongue twister.
Fruit floats.
It's either going to be, we might change the name to Chuckles. I like the idea. Rick
Chucking
came
Chuckles.
Up with, we could only put Chuckles Candy because okay. I think that might work better.
All right, we can
just
do that.
Just use the licorice because those are terrible.
Yeah.
I remember Chuckles.
Those are good. Chuckles.
We'll have to find them.
So Chucking Chuckles into cans.
They sell them somewhere here in Chicago, Illinois.
Probably at Dillon's.
Yeah.
Probably. Andy, where are you calling from, sir?
Rockford, Illinois.
From Rockford, Illinois. All right. So Rick is going to he's going to chuck some chuckles into a can. Let's see if he can get the
container number one.
Container number one.
Are you ready, Rick?
You ready, Rick?
Do you have any experience throwing candy at anything?
I'm from the mean streets of DuPage County.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look out.
Those are tough.
I was chucking corn cobs.
Ooh. Yeah. I feel like he has a little bit of an advantage here.
I know how that is. I'm from the DuPage County area as well.
All right. Yeah.
So
We
threw a lot of candy in
Fair
corn
enough.
Cob.
All right. Here we go. The first can. Oh, it's okay. And it had like I wish that we'd had like a microphone to so you could see the dink off of the can there. He does not even get to promote his
appearance. He didn't get in the first one.
Oh my god.
You guys did so well in the practice round.
I know. They were doing
I got it number 2.
I know.
No, there's no number 2 if you don't get number 1.
I got it number 3.
Oh my god.
We need another chucker here.
Michael, can you please come out and chuck some candy?
I think
candy?
Michael's going to have to chuck
yes.
for our...
Andy, hold on the line. We are not going to give up on you and your chucker.
If you want it
we
have, right.
Yeah, if you want to chuck right, let's get Michael out
Michael
here.
Michael Heidemann, ladies
Michael
and gentlemen.
Michael Heidemann will be chucking for Mark.
Sunny streets of California.
I can't believe we already have elimination rounds. None of our listeners have won anything with this
This is
dynamic
crazy. We
game.
Thought we were going to have too many giveaways.
I know.
And now it's up to Michael to save it for...
It's all right. Hey, Mark, how are you doing tonight?
I'm very well, thank you.
Your chuckle chucker will be Michael, who's in a chuckle chair right now.
He's in
chucking
the chuckle chair.
Yes.
It's very comfy, too.
Yes. Have you ever sat in that chair?
Yes, I have.
It's a very comfortable one. Do you feel that it gives you any sort of edge? Do you want a different chair to chuck from?
I think that I'm good with this.
Okay.
He doesn't need an unfair advantage.
I feel like
advantage.
I'm getting in the zen mode right
All right,
now.
let's go for the first
right.
bucket.
Okay. Wait, Michael, have you had any experience throwing candy in any other capacities?
You know, when I was a Boy Scout, when I was 8 years old, we threw from the float.
So he has some experience.
Boy. Yeah. Yeah. So
but, the time.
And no children were hit by automobiles during the parades.
Thankfully.
Yeah, so you did your job.
Eight, so about
yes.
7 years ago. Okay, got it.
Well done.
All right, that'll work. So let's let him go
right,
with the first one.
Go.
We don't have a drum roll.
Yeah, we don't have a drum roll. Here we go. Oh! Too aggressive. Did you see how aggressive that was? He like you
Did he
hurled.
Miss?
You're
I
supposed
can't
to
see.
Chuck, not hurl. You
oh,
hurled
man.
That at the bucket.
Oh my god!
Wow,
it's harder than it looks, folks. That's what I need to say. It is. If you're
Patty,
watching on the screen,
I think Patty should chuck.
I have to
here.
Chuck now. Yes. All right, I'm gonna go chuck now. All right.
I think at this point, Patty, you know, we need to get a pro here. Patty, have you?
M&Ms for my chucking. All
now,
right.
Patty,
what
you,
am I chucking for? The question is, who do I chuck for?
I think we go back to Jolene, right?
So,
maybe.
So that means it would be Wayne. Wayne gets to go for the second bucket. This is this is where we are. Now we only need 3 chuckers.
Okay.
All right. So,
I think we should have, we just let you take it, sub in.
No,
you're already
no,
sitting in the chuckering chair.
No, I'll be fine. Okay. Joanne, you are back up.
Yeah.
Now Wayne is going to attempt chucking into the second canister. Now stand by, everybody.
Okay, yeah. So Wayne is back,
mm-hmm.
Right on,
trying
right
to play
on.
For Joanne.
I'm getting it this time.
Previously, he missed the second can. So he is playing for a gift card to Lou
Malnati. I just want to say everyone's look of disappointment in themselves is...
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking, isn't it?
The can
really
is not very far away,
see
so
I,
that's why.
Oh, you're standing now. I think that the idea is that you have to sit. Yeah, it's a chucking chair.
In the practice round, I want to just chucking point chair. Out all of you guys made it to all 3... of the buckets, and you're like, yeah, this is going to be fun.
Yeah,
and we thought we were going to run out of prizes to give away,
right,
and now
here we go. All
the
right,
pressure's
here.
On.
Oh,
man.
Hard
all right, Joanne.
It's the pressure.
It's unreal. Right.
It's
this is
the
where,
pressure.
This
like
is where
right
Rick Geezer...
There, but it's not.
Wayne, you play on stages in front of thousands of people,
know,
and
not
here
missed.
In a room of 5 people, it just
you
choked.
It. You
what's
can,
going
yeah,
on?
You
what do you think was... What was the problem?
I don't know, man. I think my chucking skills, you know, I don't know, has faded.
All right, let's give Rick Geezer a chance at redemption.
Man.
Okay, wait.
Am I going for 1 or 2?
You're going for the first one.
You're going for 2, and this
and
is.
And then if you get in the first one, you go for the second one.
Yeah,
and
you still got to go the first round.
Yeah.
Who's he playing for again? Is that
he is
Mark?
Playing for Andy?
Andy.
All right,
Andy
you're back,
still there?
You're back in the game, Andy. How you doing?
I'm still here.
Elimination hour.
Andy can't believe it. This is the game we're playing.
I'll do my best.
This is
Esmeralda can't either. She seems paralyzed by shock.
And you know what? This is the thing. When people watch that show on Bozo Buckets, they would always say, "Why? How did that kid miss?" It's the pressure of the chair container game.
There we go.
I think the problem is with the person calling in. It's all my fault.
No, it's not your fault. It's not your fault, Andy.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault. No. All right, Rick Geezer, here we go.
Rick.
Yay!
He got it in the first round.
All right.
Andy.
And
first
what
bucket.
Are you, and what are you in the first building contain. For this evening,
I
sir?
I am going to be on Nick DiGiulio's show after 2 o'clock to play sports songs performed by athletes.
Excellent.
We're going to hear the classic Honky the Christmas Goose by Hall of Famer hockey goalie Johnny Bauer and a whole lot more.
Excellent.
How about the Super Bowl Shuffle?
That's not a Christmas song.
Oh, that's right.
Wow.
I felt like it was.
It seems festive.
Yeah,
all right.
It is very festive.
He's going for the second bucket. Okay. Here we go. This is a gift card for Lou Malnati.
Come on, Rick.
Here we go, Rick. What happened? Oh, he missed it. Oh, no. All right. He missed. Let's take a break here and see if anybody wins anything when we come back. You guys, Andy, Joanne, hold on the line. And Mike will be back out to Chuck for you. I know Rick's got to get upstairs, so we will have a substitute Chucker for Andy when we come back in just a little bit. More in just a moment on 720 WGN. Michael, we can't do Tell Me Something Good until one of our listeners wins a prize for crying out loud. So you have to come back out here and throw for Mark. When we last left our listeners, Paul.
Yes.
We were playing Chucking Chuckles from a Chair into Cans.
Chucking Chuckles from into a Container. Containers, Cans, and Canisters from a Chair.
Wow, this is a really complicated title for this game.
We're working on it.
We're
it's a working title.
So, Michael, and his last go around for you, Mark, do you remember what his mistake was?
I think I lost my childbearing years waiting.
He was very aggressive. He really,
very aggressive.
It bounced
too
out.
Too much tricep.
He was the first one to have it bounce out of the can. All right, here we go, Michael. Here's
it's almost a drop, Michael.
I switched to candy,
you might just
too.
Have to drop.
Yes, you switched a different kind of candy.
Softer candy.
Sweet tarts, mini chewies.
Yes, he's gone a different route. Here we go.
All right, drum roll.
Yay!
He got it.
All right, so there's your first one. Yay!
So now you just plug something.
Michael, do you have sound sessions coming up soon that you'd like to plug?
You know what? Actually, John Hansen and I will be in for you on Thursday.
Excellent. So doing the show from 11 to 2 a.m.
Yes.
Excellent.
So that's my plug.
There you go. Michael will be on. Michael Heidemann will be hosting with John Hansen 11 to 12 at 11 to 2 a.m. He's cheating. And Esmeralda, I'm so sorry, Es. There's not.
That's fine. I'll be up here watching.
Yeah, I know. It's creepy.
With an eye on everything. Don't get
that.
Too happy.
That's not how I would do it, Michael. Okay.
All right, Mark.
Mark, he's going for the second
number two.
Can.
This is for Lou Malnati's pizza, correct?
Correct.
All right, here we go. Drum roll.
Please succeed.
Please.
For the love of God.
Don't put pressure on him.
Okay.
Yes. All right. That wasn't even close,
Mark.
Right.
So
I'm so sorry.
We have to call it. We have to, after 2 rounds, I think I have to call it because Joanne called in first. Joanne has a gift card from Apt Electronics. And for Andy and Mark, we have a gift card from Lou Malnati's. Go to apt.com for all the great things they have there. Visit the store in Glenview and say hello to Steve Shapiro. Go to loumalnati's.com or visit one of the over 40 Chicagoland locations, the best pizza in Chicago. By the way, I had a gluten-free pizza from Lou Malnati's last week.
It's good.
It was so good.
Really good.
Oh, it was so good.
Surprisingly good.
I was so super happy. Yeah. Not surprisingly, it's Lou Malnati's.
Well, no, I know, but gluten-free always scares me.
It does. Does it scare
I
you?
Have dreams
don't
about
be afraid.
That deep dish.
Hold on the line, Andy, Joanne, and Mark. So Joanne has the Apt card, and then for Andy and Mark, we have Lou Malnati's because we stole a lot of their life by making them sit on the line
the
for
life,
so long.
Live bearing.
They could have eaten a whole
childbearing
pizza.
Days.
They could have ordered the pizza, and even Mark, who's in Milwaukee, he could have ordered the pizza, had it there by the time we finished this game. So. Sure. We'll have to get it done some other way for him. So hold on the line, Joanne, Andy, and Mark. Congratulations on your wins for our horrible chucking skills on the show. So that's pretty much how it's going to go on New Year's Eve. This is not a good plug, Paul.
No.
No, we have to figure this out. No, because it's the kids. The kids are going to play.
The kids are going to play it.
Chucking candy at cups.
We'll probably make it just chucking candy into cups. But I feel like they might throw them at each other.
Yeah, so then you see kids just pelting each other with bags of M&Ms.
I would hope they would eat them.
That too. They get to eat the candy.
If they get it in the bucket, they could eat it.
It's going to be like Halloween at my New Year's Eve party because I'm bringing all my Halloween candy. It's really sad and wrong that that's what I'm doing at a party.
I think you should incorporate lemon heads into the game. That'd be a little bit easier to throw, I think.
Lobbing lemon heads.
You're already making excuses, Michael. I feel like...
I feel bad for Mark.
I feel like
don't
yeah,
feel, they all got pizza and or a gift card.
Very true.
They yes. won by us losing.
Yes. You losers help them win. Just yes. want that.
I feel
I
like this is
record.
Like a participation
yes.
award.
Yes.
They got participation awards. We're just contributing to the downfall of society.
In practice, Rick and Wayne were killing
all
it.
All three crushed
yeah.
it.
Man, I was like,
it's the pressure.
It was a lot of pressure. Yeah, they felt like they had this, you know, overbearing guilt that if they didn't win something for them, for Joanne or Andy or Mark, they would disappoint them. But no, you disappointed them. Well done.
Yeah,
it's a hard game. It's
so
a hard pressure's on. Now you know what kickers feel like.
Our first and perhaps last edition of Chucking Chuckles.
we're gonna tweak it.
We'll tweak it a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like it is a lot.
This is something we also should be Facebook living as well, Michael. I think that's gonna be the next step.
Yes.
In this game,
I totally agree.
As you know, what else we should play? As maybe we need to be playing like musical chairs. What else can we have our in studio guests play for the listeners?
That's a good idea. I do like the musical chairs.
Yeah. Music. We need more people, like, though.
Yeah.
Well, and we need stationary chairs. I would hate to see people
less
like...
Less chairs.
Less chairs.
And we need
people,
to everyone to sign off on...
one chair. This is the saddest game.
We need to sign off on waivers of assumption of risk and stuff. That might be a little bigger liability.
I always hated musical chairs because it was always just like,
Maybe some sort of jousting.
Ooh. I
We're
like
going
this.
Away from the safety Ouch. Issues. I think
with like a big Q-tip. It's okay. It's soft.
Q-tips are very dangerous to your
But like a giant one.
Where are you finding these giant Q-tips?
Where do you see
Merle?
These?
I mean,
watch too much
just
TV,
a pillow
man.
On a stick.
There you go. Pillow on on the end of a paper towel holder.
I feel like this
on a back scratcher.
There you go. On a back scratcher that you can also use as a shoehorn. Esmeralda, bring it all the way back. I love you for that, Es. Thank you. These are the things that we learned today.
We have a shoe tying contest.
A shoe tying contest. We have 2 minutes to play to say, tell me something good. My something good is that Declan was feeling better today after being sick all weekend. But we cuddled this morning for some reason. He really loved mice. I was singing, do you remember the song, Rise and Shine and Give God Your Glory? The Lord told Noah to build an archy-archy. Why are you all looking at me like that? Anyway, it was making him giggle at 6 o'clock this morning, and and he seemed like in a much better mood today. Tell me something good, Mr. Wayne Baker Brooks.
Well, I hate to plug something, but I will be celebrating my 20th anniversary at Buddy Guy's Legends December 30th.
That is wonderful.
20 years, man.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, as a musician and as a...
As a band leader.
Yeah.
Songwriter, you know,
and when is that?
My own songs and...
When's this anniversary?
December 30th.
December 30th.
Right before New Year's Eve.
At Buddy Guy's. And Paul, tell me something good.
My band from 20 years ago, our album from 1997, got signed to a record label, vintage record label, on Saturday. So it was kind of weird. I stopped playing music, but we got signed to a record deal. So
congratulations.
Cool. The band Shoeshine Boy will be on Fervor Records, F-E-R. VOR,
Ver-ver.
Not Farvar. We're not going to tour because we're just going
to
wait and see.
They like their health insurance too much. They can't take time off from work. Got anything good for me?
I might be on Facebook Live tomorrow eating weird things.
Oh, excellent. I love when you eat weird things. Let's take a break here and wrap up when we come back. I'm Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.